What's up, guys? It's Donald with Nashville Hits Collecting Dusk. Excited today. Now, here's the thing, guys. I don't have my super sick Kevin McCarty over there. I know you can't see it because it's all audio and this is a podcast. It's the cool part. But I did dress up for you today. And I have a special guest. And when I say special, special in multiple ways. For one, it's the first time that I've had a guest on that has released an album that is, how would you describe it? I would say it's a full instrumental. That's the genre per se. It's like a full instrumental album.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the first words I would go to describe it. But thank you so much for describing that way. But yeah, I would say that it's progressive music, the style. And really, that can be a lot of different things. But for me, it's an aesthetic that's very similar to rock music, but also incorporates a lot of movements and almost kind of orchestral vibes that give it kind of a bit of ebb and flow that I seem to find really satisfying.
So, well, I have a lot of questions on that, but let me, first of all, that voice you just heard, audience, because you can't see him, is my guest, Gavin Kennedy. Hey, man.
Oh, hey, thank you so much.
Did a little intro. Now we know who, the world knows who you are now. So
yeah, well, thank you so much for having us, Donald.
I mean, yeah, believe you me, I enjoy, I am a curious guy when it comes to anything that has to do with two things. For one, pursuing your passion, and two, something that I don't really know a whole lot about. Now, here's the thing. Katie will tell you, I have the passion for music. I just don't have the ability, which is why I love talking to you guys, because I am so intrigued, right? Like, I just want to do it. I just don't have the ability. So anyway, right next to you, which we'll let you say hi as well, is Nolly. Am I saying that right? I want to say it with the right accent. So you say it.
Nolly.
Nolly. He says it so much better.
Approximate a British accent to do it properly.
Okay. Now I could just listen to his accent from, you know, the next hour. Yes. Overseas, in town for the album release of Gavin and a producer, correct?
That's right. So we'll get to it, I'm sure. But yes. I helped Gavin out producing and mixing his debut record, and he's very kindly brought myself out for the CD release, and I'm giving him a supporting role here.
Now the audience knows who I have in here. See, they're used to hearing my voice and sometimes sick of it, but I don't care. It's my show. So it's the beauty of a podcast. But let's do talk about your journey, because you are, I will say, I know I've lived in Nashville for 15 years, so I'll be honest, I call myself a local. But I'm still not a local.
Yeah. I think we all feel that way to some extent, right?
Right. But you are legitimate a Nashville native?
Yeah. So I was born in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville. And it's been pretty amazing to see just how much it's changing in a lot of amazing ways. And it's really become just such a diverse music scene with really the entire spectrum of creativity. And it's kind of hard not to draw something inspirational from it.
Hey, I agree. Now, I'm from South Alabama, and this is not a knock and or a compliment. It just kind of is the way it is. In South Alabama, when I was growing up, it was baseball, football, basketball.
I mean,
in all seriousness. Yeah. And I come up here, and I volunteered in the Brentwood school system for a while, and it was amazing how many different options, like lacrosse, just in the sports world, but not just that, all the different clubs, and just the creativity in general. You know, when it comes to everything that you guys had access. And I was literally seeing, guys, matter of fact, I was volunteering at, I think it might be an arch rival, Ravenwood High School.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's an arch rival high school, right?
And I actually didn't go to any of the Brentwood high schools, but yeah, I know about Ravenwood, and I know there is some pretty heated rivalries between the two.
Yeah. And so it was crazy, just everything. And then Nashville in general, right? It being this not, it's just, I was describing it the other day that it is Music City, but it has this thing about it that you can't really put your finger on. And what it is, it's just people, when they come here, they sense that it's a place where people come to pursue dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel that's what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Especially living here, it gets to be almost easy to lose perspective on how special it is. But, you know, any kind of traveling that you do outside of Nashville and you spend some time away from it, as soon as you get back, it's just so tangible and evident. And it's just great to be a part of again.
So where did this love initially start for music in itself? We'll divide up a little bit into the instrumental and the vocal and all that stuff. But just the love of music, when did you know that was it for you?
Yeah, actually, when I first started getting into music, for the first year or so, honestly, it wasn't really the greatest experience. I started taking these guitar lessons, and I just wasn't really feeling it. And we decided to give this one teacher a try, and his name was Gene Ford, and he was a teacher in Brentwood, Tennessee, and he just like ignited a passion in me for music that honestly I'll be like forever grateful for him for, because he just had a way of making it so fun and engaging and really just making what was like practice just an absolute joy. So really being able to spend time with him and really develop a friendship with him was just such a crucial part in me in finding music.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so important and stuff that I reiterate. So a lot of times I just try to like, let me repeat what I just heard, because it's those people in that cross your paths for whatever reason, right? That,
yeah,
like you said, sparked or ignite, you know, something.
Yeah.
And, gosh, when that passion's lit up, right, then is where it takes off. But I tell people all the time, because I think a lot of times questions in a lot of people's minds, is, it was mine for the longest. It was like, but I used to envy musicians and artists, because regardless if they ever think in their mind that they made it, quote unquote, whatever that in their mind is, at least they knew, right? And then in my mind, it was like, well, at least you know what your passion is. Like, mine is like, I get this a lot. I just don't know what mine is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so just in what that one story was, is like, well, I took lessons and, but it was the one person.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. It came into your life and just kind of ignited you, right?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, honestly, I think it goes with really any passion, whether it be music or anything else, having just a community of people who really are into what you're trying to get into or already into that can either start the fire or just keep it burning. And it's really amazing once you find that group of people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it always just, I guess I should probably ask first, is it just guitar or is it all instruments?
For the longest time it was just guitar, but, especially watching and listening to Nolly's music, he plays in a band called Periphery, and they have been monumentally influential on me for a long time now, but, Nolly's done some really amazing things with the bass guitar. And then that was a really cool thing for me to try and figure out what he was doing for the longest time and then kind of follow in his footsteps a bit. So the bass guitar has become another kind of instrument of passion, I guess I could say. And it's really just kind of music itself. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even assuming. I know that Nolly is a phenomenal musician. So probably the way he plays the bass would make anybody probably want to make, I want to play the bass if I could play like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
that's very cool. So, you know, this journey, it goes on and you get, kind of this ignited passion from a teacher, right? But the teacher teaches you how to play, but not how to create. Is that correct? Am I wrong with that?
Yeah. To be honest, there was a lot of very subtle lessons that I learned from him, and it wasn't something where he would sit down with me and like speak it to me. It was more so just the way that he new music. And it's a very hard thing to put into words, but it's almost like a relationship that you begin to develop with something that's almost intangible, but at the same time, very human and real. And, you know, it's very interesting. There's no like definite answer, I think, in terms of like how you get to develop that relationship with music, but he just had a very solid understanding of it. And just being able to witness that and kind of see how he would handle that was really big for me, just in terms of like not only following his footsteps but also helping me carve my own path in terms of style.
God, so important. In other words, he just spoke a language, and it's almost like you can't say whether it's a, you know, a word language. It's just maybe it's nonverbal, but some people just bring it out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, how did this relationship next to you start? I know I was told that you went overseas for
For recording Sun Chaser. And the material for the album actually started out almost exclusively, or actually entirely exclusively, just doing demos out of my bedroom, really just for fun. There was never an intention when I was writing the material. It was just like recording just to really get a benchmark in terms of my own production or writing to see what I could do.
Yeah.
And it was only a couple of years ago that I first met Nolly. And at the time, he was actually working with a band called Teller. And I was able to meet him then, and, you know, we had really great chemistry just as friends. And then when I suggested doing a project together, I think we knew going into it that we would have really good chemistry as coworkers as well. And once he got to be a part of it, he really assembled a team of just unbelievable professionals from really all over the world to work on this, and just took the project to a level of professionalism and polish that I can't even imagine trying to do on my own. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was really a dream come true kind of moment for me to have him on board.
That is cool. And now Noli, I have to get your perspective, because I'm going to assume as well that, you know, that Gavin probably wasn't the first musician that you've met that maybe wanted to work or collaborate. What was it in Gavin that you saw that was like, absolutely, like,
well, I think in the primary case, it was actually just his character. As Gavin mentioned, we met during a session for another band that I was working on, and I work professionally as a producer. And, you know, having somebody that's not a part of the session sitting on the session sometimes could be an imposition, but actually Gavin's character, he's really egoless, very positive, if anything, made quite a huge contribution to that session.
Yeah.
He was a really great person to have around. And when he then, you know, told me that he had material and that it would be a dream of his to try working on it together, you know, I was really open to that.
Yeah.
I mean, Gavin had already done all of the hard work. You know, he did all of the writing himself. We communicated overseas via email to get the pre-production done. But I think more than anything, I removed rather than added things to the songs. You know, it was kind of, I was more of an editor in that way, just trying to get this music. It is very narrative, the music. It's not kind of traditional structure. So it's important that there is a really good flow.
Yeah.
And I try to be mindful of that and not turn it into something that was commercialized or that gets rid of the soul of what Gavin was doing. But just, you know, a little bit of nip and tuck here and there, and a few suggestions. You know, this is getting a bit repetitive. Maybe try something else.
Well, I know you guys did some extraordinary things just in regards to the instruments itself, how it was recorded, you know, how you nipped and tucked per se. That was not your traditional, you know, hey, I can do it on my, you know, GarageBand software, right? And but I have to tell you what I heard in your answer, because I think, to the layman's ears and my, you know, we hear good music, but I got a good lesson out of what you just said. As a collaborator and almost as a mentor sometimes I don't add, I actually subtract, which is profound to me that I am not a musician, but I can apply in my life. Because I think sometimes I overdo it and you get the professional or just a different set of eyes, right? That has experience in whatever you're doing, and they go, okay, just, you're making it too much.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I'm hearing that in my world, not in a musician world.
Yeah.
And so when he said, I don't know if I did much, if anything, maybe I took some away, and not from you, but just I don't know, in my own life, I try to overcomplicate things. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And so that was a good lesson, I think, that I just took from that one answer. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you want to, was that about right, or add to that, Noli?
Yeah, sure. I think it's a really important lesson, especially if you're working in any kind of creative team. If you can be that person that helps bring a bit of focus into what's happening, that's a really important role.
It's really good.
Funnily enough, that's one of the more difficult things to do in a band situation, because often people have their bits that they're precious about or that they contributed about.
Yeah.
It can get quite difficult sometimes to take out someone's riff, you know, the one thing they contributed to a song. And the thing to keep in mind always is the listener doesn't know what's been taken out. Or whoever it is that's consuming whatever it is you've created doesn't know what you removed. They just want something to be seamless and good in the end. But to bring it back to Gavin, it's really nice to work with a solo artist, and especially one that's really egoless about their work, where you can actually do that. And I feel like that creates the best possible end result.
Yeah, that's awesome. Gavin, let's talk about, I mean, I my question before you got here is like, because I've seen all the songs and all the names of the song. And I was like, okay, how did you come up with these names?
Yeah.
How'd you name the song?
Yeah. They're definitely a little out of the box, but really when I was first doing the demos, anytime I would create like a session to actually record the music on my computer, in order to save it, I would just need to think of a name. So really, if it was like a reference to a show or just like whatever word I could think of, that's most of the time what it would end up being. There are only like two exceptions, but for the most part, it really was just a working title thing. And then when we actually got the album mastered and were trying to think of like names to call the tracks, really using any other title for them just felt so unnatural that we didn't really have a good enough reason to change them, so they just ended up sticking.
That's actually a great story. It was like word association to your process of creating is how you remembered it, and then that's the title.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Interesting. That's awesome. I know you described it earlier in the introduction as like a progressive rock with, I don't know, that if I heard or am I dreaming this, a Nashville country flair?
Yeah, there's a little bit of the Nashville thing in there. Not too much, but really the like core inspiration that I take from musically, genre speaking, would be like bands maybe like Dream Theater. They're not like commercially like astronomically successful, but in terms of the progressive rock and metal world, they're definitely one of the juggernauts there.
Yeah.
And they were hugely inspirational for me for a long time. And then they were actually the ones to first get me into progressive music. And then from there, I found bands like Periphery and Intervals, Tesseract, loads of different other ones. But to me, like progressive music is special because it really embraces any kind of style that you want to use. So
yeah,
there doesn't have to be a classification of this is or this isn't. It's really just if you want to do it, then go ahead and do it. And don't ask questions. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's very liberating as a creator just to know that there aren't really any boundaries.
Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about the music industry in general, but I see the world. I don't know. Sometimes I maybe offend people with this or not. I don't mean to, but I just see it going to a genreless world. Right. And I think if I'm talking to radio, like I would never said that at CRS. Right. But I mean, you know, it's no longer, like you said, it's just country or just, it's like, I like the song. If it moves me, it creates emotion, then I'm going to get the song. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I definitely, I mean, I like the idea of a kind of genreless thing. It's, I think the less definition you can give something to someone when they hear it, the more likely they are to find their own interpretation of it. And I think that's a very special thing. So
that's really cool. Well, how long is this whole project, say start to finish? When did this start for you?
The writing started about 5 years ago, and it was a super gradual process. It wasn't like trying to hammer out all these tunes day after day. It was really just whenever something would come, just write it and then see how it's set. And then the actual professional recording side of things with Nolly started in the fall of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had to ask that to go into, I ask all my guests these same three questions, all right? So, nice. But I'm going to go back to the 5 year process, right?
Okay, yeah.
I totally understand the, but when it started, but let's go back to where you just first started writing, right? That, and I don't know if, do you drink coffee?
I do. Yeah. I love coffee.
I was about to say it's my blood type, but if you could have coffee with yourself 5 years ago when you first started, right? Knowing what you know now, what would you tell that younger self?
I think I would tell myself, just know who you are and then write to that person or create for that person. It's so easy to kind of lose your own compass when, you may try to create something for the sake of being like something else. Mm. And I think the real beauty in art and especially music is that any creation is a reflection of the creator. So I think the better in touch you can be with yourself, the more satisfied you'll be with your music. And I think the more special you are, or the more likely you are to find something special in your work.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hear, you know, the similarities in a lot of answers like this, that it's for some reason, like so simple and yet so hard, which is be you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why is that so hard? But I think, you know, as you live life, you have all these perspectives of what you should be or what you shouldn't be or all this stuff. And I think you saying that, hey, I write to me and to no one else.
Yeah.
That's the true art, right?
Yeah, or for myself at least, I noticed that that definitely seems to, I don't know, coax something.
Because I guess the follow-up question was, did you find yourself, I guess, with opinions of others at times changing?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
You know, it's a fine balance because it's so cool to draw inspiration from other people.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's definitely good to know where you stand as a creator. Like some of my favorite bands ever, they're hugely inspirational to me, but if I were to write music like them, it wouldn't necessarily be honest with what I feel like I'm meant to create. But I just think it's a continuous journey. I don't think there's like a right answer that anyone gets to, but it's honestly just learning to love the pursuit and then just not worrying about the rest.
Very nice. What about the
take a stab at these?
Yeah, Nolik, jump in at any point in time. They are for both of you just as much.
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it might not be 5 years ago. We'll have to go back to your, do you like coffee, first of all? That's the first question.
Yes.
Okay, good. Otherwise, we got to stop the show. Just kidding. How long ago was it when music was like 100% it for you?
I guess I made the decision to do that when I was about 18.
Okay.
But I'd kind of started pursuing a more academic route. I'd gone to university or college, you guys would say.
Right.
And then it became clear to me that there was no point doing that. I just didn't have the passion for that I had for music.
Well, let's go back to that 18-year-old Nolik then and say, if you could have coffee with that guy, who would you tell him?
Well, weirdly, kind of a similar thing. And to be honest, you probably get this is the answer most of the time. This kind of whole be you thing.
Yeah.
Be comfortable with being you. It's something which I keep having to remind myself. You know, even doing what I do now, working as a producer, what a producer is can be many different things. And it's really glamorous to imagine yourself as the really creative guy that's amazing at doing the long studio sessions and keeping people inspired. The truth is, that's not really who I am. And as much as I want to do that and keep throwing myself into situations where I have to do that, the way my brain works isn't so much that way. I'm more analytical and I'm very good at problem solving. And I don't necessarily mean that only when there's issues, but having a desired result and figuring out how to achieve it.
Good call.
That's what I'm really good at.
Yeah,
that's different than what I thought I was going to be. And it takes,
and that's okay.
Totally cool. Yeah.
And it's, I keep hearing the same thing. It's something that you have to constantly remind yourself of, or find that one person that reminds you. I know that's me. A lot of people don't know that I do this because this is my solution. You know what I mean? Like, I speak and interview people because exactly what you're saying is what I need. And my solution is to go out and hear it from other people, because it constantly reminds me, right? Like, you hear it at different stages of life. You hear it differently. You really do. And then I've heard so many good lines, that one line that I really want to crochet, if I actually crochet, but I don't, but I put it in my refrigerator. It was just like, do you until you is what they want. Just like, that's good, you know? But it was like, why is it so hard to figure out how to just be you? That was the problem. If there was a solution, why is it so hard to be you in this world? But it is. And it's the problem for all of us, regardless of what industry we're in, right? So that's why I really love that question.
Yeah, you should probably still be you, even if it never becomes that you're what they want.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you figure out that I didn't want you to want me anyways. It doesn't matter. So that's awesome. What about the best piece of advice someone else has ever given you? It doesn't even have to be in music or art. It can be just in anything, but that you've always kind of held on to and lived by.
Yeah. I think especially over the course of this last project, over the year and a half, it was, in hindsight, a very short amount of time, but there were some very long periods of fairly isolated time creatively and just working. And a big thing that I learned was just to really treat patience like a skill and try to develop it. Because at least for myself, it's very easy to, kind of lose perspective on where things are supposed to be. And it's easy to just like psych myself out of things when in reality they're exactly what they need to be. And there's no reason to start worrying. So
that's awesome. That's a first for me. I haven't heard that. Treat patience like a skill and develop it. That's good.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's really
good. I'm working on it.
So am I. And I got about, we're not going to talk numbers here because age doesn't matter. I'm trying to teach myself that too. Yikes. You want Nolik? What about you? Best advice someone else has given you that you've always kind of held on to?
Perhaps, but probably just more in the form, it sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but just witnessing people doing the kind of thing that we were just talking about being yourself.
Yeah.
Witnessing it in the people around me, witnessing it in my wife in particular, who's hugely inspirational to me in that regard. You know, that's something which, even without having to be a nice tagline that you could crochet and put on a fridge, you know, it's inspiring. And that is, I think, the kind of advice that leads to a happy and fulfilled life. So,
absolutely. That's good. Witness it. That's good. I like it. All right. Here's my favorite one. I almost like want to go to the audience on this because sometimes, but finish this statement. If you really knew me though, Donald, like if you really knew me, you would know.
Ooh, I think you would know that I would take a hike over a trip to the movies any day.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the outdoors so much. And even if it's like freezing kind of like it is now, I would still like spend a few hours hiking and love it. So I'm really into that.
That's a good one. I will say that I would agree with you if it's above 65 degrees.
So maybe we're not quite there right now.
No, I appreciate that about you is what I'm saying. Like, that's a good, like, if you really knew me, I don't even care what the weather is. I'd rather, that's a good one. I like that
Oh, nice. Well, thank you.
Yeah, me and cold weather don't get along. I'm sorry, I can't even go on that. That's just what it is. Noli, what about you? You got to answer it too. If you really knew you, what would I know?
Why my name is Noli.
That is a fun. Absolutely. I do. That's, and am I saying it right? I kind of have to second guess myself every time I say it. I go, am I really saying that right? So, yeah, I do. Can I know that?
Yeah, but the listeners can't.
Dang, I thought I was going to get the exclusive here. All right. Well, off mic then. I'm going to find out why. So it's a nickname. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Well, maybe I should have just said no, that Noli isn't my real name.
Well, yeah, there it is. Because I wouldn't have known that. You're right. All right. I'm going to get that story afterwards if I can't talk you into it here. All right. Well, hey, that's so much fun. Let's do this. We'll kind of wrap it up here and put a little bow on it. All right. So I get it almost because I hear people all the time go, and people ask me, Donald, what's your favorite episode? I go, the last one I did. Like,
nice.
That's always my favorite. You know what I mean? Because I love doing this. So they're all good in their own unique way. But I'm going to have to ask you to choose a favorite. If you had to, like, this song on the album, it's kind of like, oh, they're all my babies, you know? And we're not talking bad. We're not talking bad about the other babies. We're not.
Yeah.
All right. We're just saying, but this one, and just kind of, if you could maybe walk us through or lead us up to how it was created and the process. And then that's what we'll kind of, we'll end the show with, playing it for the audience.
Okay. Yeah. I think this may be a bit of a cop out because it ended up being split into three parts on the record, but, there's one track called An Ecology that, one of the main themes out of the song was actually the very first thing that I wrote, like, ever. So it was honestly like the epicenter for anything musically creative I've ever done. And that song specifically, when I talked about setting a benchmark just to see what I could do, that was kind of the all encompassing, like, I wanted to fit everything that I love about music somehow in one song. Ooh. And, it's actually like a 15-minute song when you put all the parts together. So it's just this massive hoss that just like, it's all over the place. But I think it's very reflective of kind of my creative journey and especially just the kind of themes of self-discovery on the record. It's definitely a standout to me.
That's awesome. I that's what I heard. Everything that I am one. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a task. And even if I got a portion of that, I think that's good enough for me.
Well, that's a good, what I would call a teaser. Like, I want to hear it, right? So we'll
play
it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for hanging out.
Oh, thank you so much, Donald.
Listen, from what, right or wrong, you came all the way overseas to be on my show. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, that's...
Well, we're super glad to be here.
Yeah. Thanks so much. How do people find you, follow you, keep in touch with you, engage with you? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, my social handle is Gavin K Music, Instagram and Twitter. And then on Facebook, I'm just Gavin Kennedy. So
I love it. Well, we're gonna wrap it up with the song. We're going to play it.
Awesome. That sounds
and
great.
And I usually have my my sidekick. He took 1 hour of legal at university or college. So he's my non-legal counsel. But I always ask, if you're back in town and, you know, you're doing new things, will you come back?
Oh, I'd love to.
Perfect. Yeah. That's when my non-legal counsel would go legally bounding, but I'm not a lawyer. So, but it's been so much fun. So
this is great.
The song, and thanks so much for hanging out. We'll do it again next time.
Thanks so much, Don.
Absolutely.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.